Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Bumper Sticker Wisdom. I'm Jason.
I'm John.
And back by popular demand, we got...
Tanner. Thanks for having me back, y'all. I appreciate it.
We had such a good conversation last time, we figured, what the heck, we better have him back.
Might as well do it again.
Yeah.
I'm going to pass the mic over to my brother John. He's going to say a quick little prayer, and we'll get this thing started.
Yes, sir. Father in heaven, we just want to lift up everything to you. We want to lift up this process to you. We just want to surrender ourselves to you, Father. You know, we don't always have a plan, but we know that you do. And so, Father, we know that even when we make our plans, you direct our steps. So right now, we just want to surrender ourselves to you and allow you to direct the steps. Father, we invite your spirit into this room, into this space, and allow that to overtake us, Father, and that we not be we only be the voice and not the words. The words are coming from you. Father, we thank you for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Whew. Man.
So.
How we start this one.
Yeah. How has everything been since the last time you was on the show?
Everything's been going good. Getting back in the groove. You know what I mean? Working.
Yeah.
Working, being a dad. Things are turning better up on that front.
That's good.
Trying.
Hey. Well, keep trying.
That's all you can do.
Yeah. Just try to be present. You know what I mean? Just try to be present.
One thing that I had discovered working with kids at church from elementary all the way up through, actually from toddler all the way up through seniors in high school, is kids really just want to be seen. They want to know that you know that they're there, you see definitely. Them. And so sometimes you'll see me vanish for a minute, and a lot of times I'm going back to the elementary room to go high-five all the kids. Hey, how y'all? And all that. Dude, it makes a huge impact.
I bet they love it. They love it.
Oh, yeah. We have our own little secret little handshake. Yeah. There's a couple of them. So yeah,
that's cool.
It's pretty fun. I like it.
So speaking of, not really kind of pertaining to that, but what did you think about The Chosen last night?
Man, it's been on my mind from the moment that we watched it to now.
It was the best episode I've seen.
You've seen the whole thing already. We're still
that
a couple.
That was the third time I saw it, but still.
Isn't that still your favorite?
Yes, sir.
Yeah? I like it a lot. And it was the one, it was all centered around, it was called Clean or something like that.
Clean Part 2.
Part 2. And it was really two miracles that happened in the same episode, and this the way that it was about the woman with the issue of blood, right? And while I'm watching it, I'm just overtaken by this level of faith, right? Like we're talking about mountain moving faith. That's the kind of faith we're talking. It's faith without question.
They both had it.
Yeah.
They both had it. The other thing that I found very, very interesting, and again, like to me, I want to sit here and watch it again. You know, I want to see this thing play out again. I want to hear this thing play out again. And I want others to hear and experience it too, because it's such a powerful scene. And the way it sets up is like somebody that you don't expect to be a follower, because he works in the synagogue.
Yeah.
Believes that Jesus can heal his daughter. And everybody starts to hear that this miracle, this thing is about to happen, that Jesus is going to go heal this girl. And everybody comes a running because they want to see this thing. And there's one other person in the crowd that needs a miracle and knows. I mean, literally, she knows all I got to do is touch his garment. I don't have to touch him just because she doesn't want to make him unclean, right? That's Jewish tradition stuff. I don't know enough about it to speak on that. I just can tell from the context that she doesn't want to touch him because she doesn't want to make him unclean, right? That's the whole thing. And it's a huge, powerful scene, man. Like, it's very emotional, and all this chaos is going on around him, and then she grasps the tassel on his
thing. Yeah, and he immediately felt it.
And he stopped traffic, bro. He's like, "Bitch!"
Yeah.
I mean.
He's like, "Who touched me?"
Peter. Bro, there's like.
Yeah.
There's a mob around.
Yeah, we're
what are you talking about right now?
People and anybody can.
Hey, but that's what I like about The Chosen, because it gives you that different perspective from the Bible. You know what I mean? You're seeing it visually, and I think I believe that it was kind of like that back in the day. It's kind of like that back in the day. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
You definitely can see why it would look the way it looks on that show, right? Yeah. That's kind of what it jumps out to me almost every time I watch it. And all day today, from the time I woke up this morning to really all day waiting to come here, you know, so like I said, sometimes, a lot of times we don't know exactly what we're going to talk about, but all that's been on my mind today was that whole thing, that whole interaction. And then, you know, one thing that Jesus said to her that blew my mind was, your faith has blessed me.
Yeah.
And we don't think about that, right? Like, we don't think about our faith in God and when we express that faith being a blessing to him and, like, touching him. You know what I mean? We don't even act like we can affect God emotionally. Yeah. You know what I mean? Other than to him to love us.
Yeah.
I don't know what you guys think. Like, that just, I don't know.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, it's crazy for him to say that.
We had a group of how many dudes are in that room?
Six or seven.
Or seven.
Six.
That were all.
That's the most loudest the room's got since I've been part of the Bible study. Everyone started talking. The back half of the room was talking. Everyone was. Everyone got in that episode.
I know.
It was great.
I know. You know, and we're men. We're all so shallow. You know what I mean? That we don't like to express things like that. I'm over here like choking up, trying not to be super emotional in a room full of dudes. Like I'm like, get it under control, bro. Get it under control, bro.
I was about to put my sunglasses on.
Let it out. Let it out. It's good though when an episode like that or a scripture like that hits you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It hits you and you bring that emotion to the table because you're like, wow.
Yeah.
Just look at the things he did and just look at the people that were around him and how he dealt with all of it.
I'm not 100% sure that I had never seen it like that. And I don't think that I had ever thought about that faith before in that way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't think that I had ever really given it all that much thought. If that makes sense. We talk about, you know, scripture saying, Christ saying, you know, I say to you that if you have faith as much as a mustard seed, you can tell this mountain to jump and it will jump, or tell this olive tree to be uprooted and tossed into the sea. But I think that I think people are taking that very literally instead of in the metaphorical way it was being, because you got to remember, he always spoke in parable.
Always.
He always spoke
always.
In story.
Always.
It's a descriptive way of saying something. And the truth of the matter is he's just trying to tell you that you're going to come across challenges and your faith will get you through those challenges. It will actually move the challenge in sometimes, you know what I mean? And so I actually pulled the scene up because I feel like I have to at this point. We've talked about it so much. We're going to have to watch it on YouTube. Who's the person that posted this? Can anybody tell that?
It just says The Chosen.
I don't like, yeah, right.
See, like that's
shout
OTG.
Shout out to The Chosen.
I always don't want to, we don't want to plagiarize and we don't want to steal anybody's content. This isn't ours, but it's presented in such a beautiful way that we would like to share it with you, and hopefully you guys will want to watch it.
If you
honestly.
Think you're
why I gotta watch
help. Watch this movie.
I want to see that movie too.
And it may change
the blind. Okay.
Everyone, make room.
Stay back, everyone.
Teacher.
A rabbi has a pressing matter ahead.
Teacher. No.
Her issue of blood showed up.
Just one thread.
Just a fringe. One touch. One thread. Just a fringe. One touch. One thread. One thread. Just the edge. Only a thread.
You! I know you! Get away from him!
Stop it, please!
Rabbi Yosef! Rabbi Yosef! This woman bleeds. She is unclean. We removed her.
Please, I have a promise I won't touch him. I just need...
Oh, woman, please. We can help you, but not now.
Mm-mm. Sorry. Try tomorrow.
Oh, please, just a moment. Just a
stop traffic.
Everything just stopped.
Instant.
What's going on? What's wrong? Who touched me?
Everybody back.
Back.
I asked the question. Who touched me?
Master, the crowds are pressing in all around you like this, and you're asking who touched you? They all have.
Someone touched me.
I felt that power went out of me.
Whoever touched me, come forward.
Teacher.
I know. He already knows. He's like...
Just the fringe of your garment, only the edge. I promise, you are not unclean.
Why my garment?
I'm sorry. I know I should have asked. But if you touched me, it would make you ritually unclean according to the law. I was sick. I was sick for 12 years. I bled and no one could stop it. But I believed if I could just touch a piece of your garment. And I was right. I was right. Thank you.
Who told you I could heal?
A man from the pool. And he was right. The blood has ceased.
My daughter.
I'm no one's daughter anymore.
Look up. Yes, you are. Daughter. It wasn't my piece of clothing that healed you.
But it was instant. I felt it right away.
I know. But it wasn't this. It was your faith.
Yeah.
Teacher, she was bleeding so long. We can take her. She is clean.
Well, he did not have patience for that at all.
You have blessed me today.
Wow.
And I know. My daughter, I know it has been a fight for you for so long. You must be exhausted. Go now in peace. Your faith has made you well. I wish I could stay here longer, but I have business to attend to. Someone else has faith like yours.
Amen.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad that we found each other.
For anyone who hasn't seen it, go check out The Chosen.
If you have not, and if you're even a mild follower of Christ, or even a CEO, right, a Christmas, Easter, occasionally type churchgoer, or anything like that, I'm telling you, it certainly makes the good news a lot more palatable and easier to understand because it brings it to your level. It really does, emotionally, even spiritually. I don't think that they even know how much it connects to you spiritually. I don't even know that they or can even do that on purpose. That, to me, is 100% God-driven. But yeah, if you have not invested your time in watching The Chosen, you should do it. Not even for just entertainment purposes. You wrote something down.
I wrote something down during that, and this I want to bring it to the table right now. But I said, do you think that's why he did the miracles, so people would believe?
I think that
every because the word spreads in a small community like that, that he's doing all these miracles, right?
Yeah.
So do you think he did that purposely for that reason, to bring people into him?
I think it was probably part of it, right? Because he would go, if you read the Bible, there were times when the disciples even would go and they would heal people in a community, and a bunch of believers would come from that.
Yeah.
Right? They didn't necessarily say they healed everybody.
No.
Just said that they healed, you know, some people and prayed with some people, and 5,000 followers were added that day or whatever. I think that it's definitely part of it, but Jesus is too humble for that.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? That's just the way I see
it. He's trying to help everyone he can at the time. You know what I mean? Yeah. But there's too many people to help, and it just like that's all he wanted was people to have faith in him and everything he does. And this lady has never met him before. She's heard of him, yes, but once she said, "Oh, your follower is Jesus from Nazareth."
Yeah.
Take me to him now.
Yeah, I'm ready to go. I know he's gonna heal me.
He will fix me. Yeah. And what they do? We'll take you to him. They tried their best, right? But then they had to do their job too, protect Jesus.
Yeah, but the things started to break loose.
It was great. It was amazing.
And the crazy thing was, after that, you know, Jairus' daughter had died, and he brought her back.
That was the first resurrection.
That was the first resurrection in here, and
that was powerful.
The next one is Lazarus.
There's three that I know of recorded in the Bible. There's another child where he didn't actually go. It was that's the one I keep saying that the Roman guards. Child that he heals him from a distance.
Yeah.
Like he goes, go. He's okay. Your son is well.
You'll get to that later on in Chosen.
Yeah, I bet you will.
Spoiler alert.
Well, because he does it from a distance.
At this time in Jesus' walk in his ministry, the Romans are starting to look at him different. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. The Romans are looking at them as like, wow, this man is really
he's something.
He's not being a confrontation to our people. He's doing his thing, and everyone's following him.
And he's loving everybody.
He's the Caesar of the Jews.
Yeah.
I mean, is that, right? Yeah, like if you look at it, then like that's how I look at it.
Right. Caesar of the Jews, basically. So what were your thoughts on the episode last night?
It was really crazy that I don't really know how to say this, like the faith that everybody had.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Coming from, especially that other dude, the dude that
Jairus.
Yeah. That's taking him to his daughter.
Right. He's one that from the start, we were kind of like, I don't like his demeanor.
Like,
because he was like, y'all thought he was shady.
Well, you know, he gave off that vibe. He was like, "Hey, give me that. I'll hide it over here in this corner where nobody goes and looks, because I'm the keeper of the
I'm the keeper of the secrets." You know,
like, you're right. You're like, okay.
The first thing he said was, "I come in to fix problems."
Right.
And where they're at, there's problems going on right now.
Right.
Jesus just stepped forth.
Yeah.
People started to believe.
Yeah.
I think that's why he came there though, because he already had that faith from the jump.
Right.
This is our guy. This is
you definitely get to a different perspective at some point. Go ahead. Yeah.
Do you remember the first episode of season 2 when they're doing like their testimonies? Like he'd already been crucified and
they're writing it down now.
Yeah.
John,
remember all the emotions that all of them had?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, dude, they just like they're like so somber. They're just
he's gone.
Yeah.
I wondered, though, at that point, had he come back, right?
Yeah.
Because John is already writing it, and that's when he says he was there at the beginning. You know what I mean? Nothing was created without him.
Yeah.
It was all created through him and all that kind of stuff. You know, I don't know, bro. I'm all about getting into God's word, right? And I do call it God's word because that's what I believe it is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Do I know for a fact that everything that was supposed to be in there is there? I don't know, man. I don't know what the world has done. I don't know what they decided, you know, when they pulled out this book and that book and why and all that. I don't care. Yeah. Because I have to believe that my God is so powerful and he can do anything that if he really wanted it there, do you really think it could be stopped?
Yeah.
Definitely not.
Well, here's the thing is, name another book that is, I mean, archaeologists have used it to find things. It's historically correct in every aspect.
Yeah. Old and New Testament.
Yes. So,
you know, all the places are real. All the people were real. The people were recorded after the fact. Jesus is recorded in other doctrine, not just
He's in the Quran too.
That's right. He's written about in Chinese text.
Yeah.
There's texts that mention him. You know what I'm saying? Like, This
is the thing about followers, though. You have to trust in that book 100%. You can't question it. Yeah. People that question it, bro, you're not going to get blessed, bro.
They get scared, I think.
Exactly. It's the truth that scares people, even nowadays, with anything. Sure. But the truth is in that book.
We talk all the time about process, right? And, like, how, you know, we expect that we're going to wake up. Okay, let's just say, I'm going to throw a scenario, right? Let's just say somebody who's been struggling with drug addiction let's go away from drug addiction because that's something that you guys are too near to. Let's just say somebody who's been dealing with depression for their whole lives and they've attempted to commit suicide multiple times and it hasn't happened or whatever. They finally decide that they're going to go to church and they're going to be baptized and they're going to start getting involved and all that kind of stuff. The problem is a lot of people walk into that scenario thinking they're going to go up there, I'm going to give my life to Christ, and that's the end of it.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about that anymore. And that's not true. You're still in this world.
Yeah.
And in this world, you will have trouble. You know what I'm saying? So you're going to struggle, man. You're going to deal with things. You're going to have problems. But your faith is built through struggle. Yeah. Your faith, your endurance is built through struggle. How do you get, okay, I go run on the treadmill.
Right? For how long?
Right, 20 minutes.
Ooh.
Right now, if I go, and I'm not, I say running, my knees don't handle running. I'm going as fast as my body can carry me. I'm just saying, as a scenario, I go up to the gym right now, and I jump on, and I'm like 7 miles an hour. And I can only do 2 minutes because my endurance is terrible. Do you know how you make that go longer?
Keep doing it.
Yeah, keep doing it.
Practice.
Until, I can make it 2.5. Now I can make it 4. Now I can make it 7. Now I can make it 15. It's the same. This is no different. Go ahead.
All right, you're talking about that faith. The people that take that step, though. Mm-hmm. Faith without works is dead. That's what they said in James, right?
Yes.
So you have to put the work in. Yeah. With the faith. You can't just expect things to happen right off the top. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have to put the work in. You have to get into your Bible. You have to be kind to people. You have to have those positive thoughts.
Yeah, I think that the struggle becomes people don't want to put in any effort. They just want to end up.
That's how it is nowadays.
They just want to end up at the finish line.
Yeah.
Yeah, they expect. Everyone expects something right off the top. It does not work like that for anything.
You got to look at the kind of, especially like the generation that we're in. Everybody gets instant gratification now.
Oh, it's a microwave world, man.
Anytime you need anything or you want anything or you want to see something or you want to do something, everything is just right at it's at our fingertips nowadays. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, you asked the question last night, like, can you imagine what it would be like to know that you don't eat if you don't go catch those fish?
Yeah.
It's the same idea, yeah, right?
It's the same thing now, because now if you're hungry, you just go down to McDonald's and fill your freaking belly full of trash. You know what I mean? Like,
and even the people that don't have money to go buy that stuff, there's trash that will be that's plenty good enough to eat. Trust me, especially in this country, there's a lot of waste. We throw a lot of stuff away that's plenty good for people. You know,
EBT
what I'm saying?
Now too, EBT food stamps.
Yeah.
People can just go sign up for that, and they don't have to work for it. They just it's given to them.
Yeah, I never got that luck. I raised three boys on my own. I went down and to get that one time. You know what they offered me? $8.15.
Really?
A month.
Get a bag of beef jerky.
You know what I told them? Going down.
You know what I told them? I was like, thanks, but no thanks. Yeah. I think I'll deal with my $8.
Dang.
I mean, it was, and you know, people are going to hear that and just assume that I was affluent or something. Bro, I was a single dad with three kids. I worked at Bed Bath & Beyond in their receiving dock. You know what I'm saying? I got it. I worked in their receiving dock. You know what I'm saying? And I'm that was right after my separation. I had worked for years to help my first wife get through college, get her nursing degree, all that stuff. I'm supposed to go back to school and all that. Now I'm going to go be a teacher. That's the goal. And then the bombshells landed into my lap that this is no longer the plan right now. It's, you know what I'm saying? So I took this job because I was like, I don't have to put in all that anymore. She's going to go make some bread while I go do this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It didn't work out that way. Now I'm working in this place making, I think it was $12 an hour, three sons. You know what I mean? My dad and I shared an apartment. He worked at WT. He was doing okay. You know what I mean? Yeah. But we had a two-bedroom apartment, three sons, you know? Yeah, no help.
Two full-grown dudes.
Two full-grown dudes. You know what I mean? I'm making, I couldn't tell you exactly how much money I was making at the time. Maybe I would take home maybe $400 a week, dude, or $360 a week.
Yeah. Do you have faith, though? Did you have faith everything's going to be okay?
It's
your turn.
Yes, I did. But it was a struggle. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and tell you that I sat there and was like, I know you got me, Dad, or God. I know, Dad, same. You know what I mean?
He's
I know
a father.
I know you got me, God, and I know I'm going to get through this every day, all day. No. There were plenty of moments where I'm like, I don't know if you got me. I don't know what I'm supposed to do right now. You know what I'm saying?
I think everyone comes to a time, they question their faith. They question what God's doing in their life. Mm-hmm. But I think that's what builds the faith stronger, because as long as you believe, you trust in the process, things are going to turn out for the good, brother.
It took the time. It took time.
It's going to take time every time.
It did, but it came through, right? And I still struggle. I've told you before, you are from outside looking in, you looking at me and the man you know, you would think that I never have these doubts. I never have any struggles or all that kind of stuff. That's a lie to tell, first of all.
Yeah.
Because I'm still broken. I'm still a human being. I got a lot of baggage. We left our baggage right there last week, right there.
Yep. In the green circle.
In the green circle. It stays there forever.
In that knot hole.
I'm trying to, but you know what? I have to be reminded. I have to be reminded that that's going to stay there. And the next table, that is going with it. You know what I mean?
Quit carrying it. Don't quit carrying. What do we talked about that. It's like quit carrying your baggage. Because, you know, we get comfortable.
Carrying it.
Yeah. It's like you always want to go back to it because you're so comfortable with having that. You know, when you grow up a certain way or whatever, you get used to having that trauma, carrying that trauma and dealing with it every day it's uncomfortable for it not to be around.
Right.
Do you think that makes an excuse for people, though? Because that baggage?
I'm not saying it's an excuse. What I'm saying is I think that's why people do it, is because it's comfortable to you at that point. And then you get so used to dealing with. Look, it's like let's you know, like when you – okay, so I'll use this for an example. When I tore my bicep, It was uncomfortable, but I did it every day. You know what I mean? You still do it every day. It's uncomfortable. It sucks.
Yeah.
But it's kind of the same way. Like, whatever you've dealt with in your childhood or whatever, you're carrying that. It's uncomfortable, but after a while, you get so used to carrying that and living with that that it just it don't bother you anymore. You know what I mean? And that's the same way it was with my elbow.
I'm not 100% sure how it got there or what the – I know the final outcome was we said we're leaving it right there. Yeah. But I think it was like, dude, I've been healed of these things. Why am I still carrying it?
Yeah.
Why am I still carrying that trauma? You know, I'm supposed to – we're supposed to submit it and leave it at – the cross, right? The blood has already washed me clean. I am made new. I am something new. I don't have to deal with that struggle anymore. Why am I still bringing it back to I'm bringing it right back to where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
Instead of leaving it where it was. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Just keep carrying it on with me. And, you know, some of us have mountains of freaking baggage on our backs. You know what I mean? Faith can move mountains.
Yeah.
Why haven't we allowed that faith to move those mountains?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I get, look, I'm preaching to myself at this point. Like, I'm frustrated with myself that I continue to allow myself to do that. But since that moment, again, it's ritualistic. Is that real? No, there ain't nothing there but a knot on a table. That's naturally created by God, yeah. Right? But I think about it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's symbolic. I think about it.
Yeah.
When I start to struggle. No, I left that right there.
Yeah.
In that.
I even drew a circle around it.
Because we're going to cut it out.
Yeah. That's going with the new table.
You know, I mean, we should cut it out, cut it in half long ways and make coasters out of it or something. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? It's just.
But I think anything with the new, though, you said you're going to bring in a new table. You have to remember the old things.
Yeah, that's
that too. Brought the new table on, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That makes sense?
Yeah, it was part of it.
Yeah.
That was part of what we were talking about, and I just pointed at it, and the next thing I know, we're talking about our – because it makes the most sense. It's an imperfection.
Yeah.
Right? And that's all our struggles are just imperfections that are stuck to us. Yeah. And it just made the most sense to me. Like, we're going to leave it right there. Let's just leave it right there. And we prayed about it.
Oh, yeah.
On the podcast, we prayed that.
Yeah, that's where it stayed there.
And it's going to stay there.
Yeah.
So, you know. Anyway, you got nothing to say now?
Keep going. Yeah. Y'all
do. You had something on your phone.
I was just looking up other scripture.
Sure. Well, you brought this scripture to me. Tell me why. Galatians 6:9. So let us not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Why did you think of that?
Because it's sometimes in my life, I want to do the best I can and just do good for me, myself, and people around me.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's hard, you know what I'm saying? Because the change from doing what I was doing to what I'm doing now, it is hard. It is stressful. But guess what? God put me here for this reason and these tests I've been through to do what I'm supposed to do, what I'm doing right now. Working, right. Trying to be the best dad I can be, trying to be the best human I can be.
Yeah.
But it's hard sometimes because once you think you're doing good, it might not be enough.
Yeah.
So I'm stressing, oh, I got to pay rent. Oh, I got to get these many hours. Oh, I'm not making this much money. Like things come, but once, like I said at the end, at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Never give up.
Never just surrender.
Just trust the process and do what you're doing.
Yeah.
And just pray. If you pray, he will answer. It might not be when you want him to, but it's going to happen.
What did I say? That scripture says, we were talking about God's timing. The scripture is, he's not really holding anything back from you. He's being slow for you intentionally. And again, I'm butchering that. I know that's not what it says. It says something along the line of, like, God's not really being slow. He's actually being patient for your sake. You know what I mean? Because he knows that if he allows you to have that blessing right now, it's not going to end up being a blessing. It's going to be a detriment, right? You know what I mean?
You just take advantage of it pretty much. He's waiting on you to make that decision. He's trying to see you put in the work.
Right.
Like I said in James, they said faith without work is dead.
Right. We talked about this podcast. We want something more than what we're doing. Right, but we got to do it anyway, no matter what, because if it blows up too fast, you know what'll happen? It's just like a bottle rocket.
Yeah,
it'll, Yeah. And it's over. You know what I mean?
Also, with that, though, you can't look too far forward.
Yeah.
You have to look at right now.
Right now.
What are we doing right now? Who are we helping right now?
Yeah.
That's, I think that's the biggest thing for y'all and for me, though. You know what I mean? Like, who? I don't care about the future. I care about right now, every day. What am I going to do today that's going to make me better and make the people around me better?
Right.
That's how I feel.
Yeah, I don't think that we focus enough on the moment, really. I think we definitely, you know, I don't know. Okay, so we were at the birthday thing the other day. Was it a birthday? It was kind of a birthday, kind of Easter, whatever it was. And a conversation starts getting started about with somebody that's there, and I'm not name dropping anybody or anything like that, but the questions started coming up about stuff in Israel and, you know, oh, this the eclipse that's coming and all the signals, the signs and stuff like that. These preachers are grabbing onto. And let me tell you something. I will be the first to tell everybody, I don't buy people's hype when they start talking about the end.
Yeah.
Because Christ even said that nobody knows the time.
Yeah.
Nobody knows the time but the Father. It says that it will come like a thief in the night.
It could happen like in 5 seconds.
Instant. It will be so fast you won't know it happened.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is I don't think it's wrong to pursue. I don't think it's wrong to understand. I don't think it's wrong to try to understand the symbolic stuff and the symbolism and all that stuff. But how is it adding anything to your life when all you're doing is worrying about when it's going to end?
Yeah.
Does anybody have an answer to that? Yeah. Because it hasn't benefited me one time. So when I read Revelation, I don't look for that. I'm not looking for, okay, what's the signal that this is coming? What's the signal that the next seal is broken? And because the next thing I know, I'm going freaking mad.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's normal.
Yeah. Because I've seen a lot of people talking about, like, trumpets.
The trumpet blast, yeah.
Yeah, and they're like, we've already gone through 3 or 4 trumpet blasts. And I'm like, really? Because I would think that's a big enough deal in the Christian mindset that there would be a lot of people talking about that.
They do. The problem is they do it from a scare tactic.
Yeah.
They don't do it as a means of information.
Yeah.
They think they are, but really, they really are just concerned with the fact that the end is near. Brother, let me tell you something. From the time that Christ was born to the time Christ was dead, and from every moment since, all that humanity has been worried about is when's the end coming?
Yeah.
That's 2,000 plus years.
Yeah.
And they have all predicted it in every generation. Over and over and over again.
It was supposed to end in 1999, then I think
2012,
yeah.
But guess what? That all came from the Bible. And people are believing in that. And but look at the end times right now. Everything's going on in the world. Wars, famine.
You know how many wars and famine have gone on in the last 2,000 years?
A whole lot.
That's what I'm trying to say. It's like, okay, I understand that those are signals. I get it, and I'm not arguing against that. What I am saying is doesn't mean it's this war. It doesn't mean it's this famine. It doesn't.
It could always be, though. That's why you have to get right with the Lord.
You should be doing that anyway.
Exactly, yeah. But that's what people, they're just procrastinating. Okay, people are procrastinating. Oh, sure. It's not now. It's not going to happen
feel
in our
like,
lifetime.
Do you feel like my approach to that is negative towards people or to people? Or is hurting people or will it hurt people?
I don't think it would hurt people. Okay. People have to care for it to hurt. You know what I mean? Unless they care about their religion and where they're at,
sure.
Then it might hurt them because, like, what is this guy talking about?
You know well, I mean? But so are you confused? Are you convicting me of not caring?
No, not at all.
About my religion?
No, and all that. You are caring. You're caring, but other people are not going to see it that way. You know what I'm saying? It's just another war. Yeah. It's just another war. This is what we grew up around. You know, I'm 29 years old. I've seen plenty of wars since I've.
It happens and every time.
It could happen any time, but that's why you have to get right with the Lord and with yourself and be honest.
Sure.
And do you believe?
I don't think that And maybe it's just a product of generation. I don't think that fear tactics work.
No, they definitely don't.
I think if they did, then Jesus would have spread a lot of fear tactics, and he didn't. Yeah. He was humble and loving and patient and gentle. You know what I mean?
But he tried to bring more understanding.
Right.
When he was there, he tried to bring more understanding to bring people in and not fear.
Right.
I believe.
I think the word fear, it's used in the Bible, says fear the Lord and all that stuff, and it's confused some people because I think it's not the right kind of fear that people. I think people hear that and assume it's trembling, and maybe, but I think it's more like respect.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like the fear of your father.
Yeah.
If you have a father,
I'm not mad at you. I'm disappointed.
Woo!
That hurts.
That stings.
Hurts. You feel it right there when that happens.
That's the kind of stuff that you fear.
Yeah.
And it's good criticism. It's fatherly love. But
yeah. But I don't think it's the kind of fear where you're just worried. Like you said, it's not fire insurance.
Yeah.
It's not just where I don't want to. I'm not coming to Christ just because I'm afraid of hell. Because honestly, I'm going to get what I deserve either way.
Yeah. We talked about that too.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people, the reason that they pursue and they chase is because the fear of going to hell.
And I think that religion has done that.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, though. In the Old Testament, is more the fear base. This is what the Lord's, the wrath, what he's going to do. And in the Newer Testament, it's more loving, understanding, bringing these people together.
Yeah, okay. So before Jesus, you're talking about the Old and New Testament. So exactly. Old Covenant, New Covenant. Old Covenant, do good, get good. Yeah. New Covenant, Christ already did.
But it's a generational thing too, because back in the older days, it's all Old Testament. That's what they're preaching on, and that's what people believe. Now, in the newer era, 2000s and whatnot, it's more Newer Testament. So it's more kind, more loving.
Yeah.
And people don't see the wrath or the anger that God can bring. You know what I mean?
Oh, I'm fully aware of what he could do.
Exactly. Oh,
yeah.
Exactly.
I'm fully aware of what he could do. I guess I don't fear that, though. And not in a spiteful way. Like, I of course I'm afraid of it. Like, yeah. I wouldn't want to see all those things happen. I don't want those things to happen to me. I don't want any of that. But I, you know, that's just not the God I know. That's not God's word to me. It is. It's part of the story. The Old Testament is part of the story. It's all set up for Jesus, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Part of the reason Jesus did some of the miracles he did, too, not just to draw a crowd, not just to get this ministry to spread, was to fulfill prophecy.
Exactly.
Right? And that's because he was doing his part. That was doing his job. His part in the story.
And he knew that.
He absolutely knew that.
He was waiting on the right time to do it.
Right.
Waiting on the right time. If not now, when?
Right. It's like we were talking about yesterday, like that was the first time I'd ever thought about why Christ would tell them, don't tell anybody. Yeah. Because he knew when they did.
He knew the repercussions from the jump. He knew was it going to happen, but.
He did it anyway.
Was it the right time? Maybe, maybe not, but he had to help this person. He had to
help
this
person. He did it anyway.
Exactly.
He always did.
He always did the right thing at the right time.
That's right. That's God's timing.
I love it. I love it. I just got goosebumps just talking about it.
I know, right?
Man.
It makes my spine tingle.
He's such a good God.
Oh, dude.
Such a good God.
Man. Such a good God. Got anything else doing over there?
No, just trying to get comfortable.
Oh, I know. My brother's in pain.
I hate it. I got a little topic right here.
Go ahead.
Bringing in God to the workplace.
Yeah.
How is that?
It's a struggle.
How is that for you at your job?
It's a struggle.
Do you have believers there that work with you?
Yeah. Not obvious.
Not obvious?
Not a lot of obvious.
Kind of closet believers?
It's difficult for me because I'm in a warehouse environment, right? So, like, you know, there are some that I'm aware of. I've been working with some of these folks for 13 years. So I know them. There's a lot of others that are, you know, hey, you can, yeah, a little here and there, little here and there. Not a lot of. I gotta be real careful because, you know, I'm a leader.
Yeah.
Right. So I gotta be real careful about
But that's real, though. That's real. That's anywhere you go. You got to be careful with what you say because it can be turned against you.
That's right.
And that's the hardest thing about us being Christians, getting the word out
right
to the right people or to anyone, really, because that's what we're supposed to do. We're fishermen. We're supposed to bring people in anywhere we're at, right?
Yeah. I do get concerned.
You have to be careful with the people around you. But just, like, I work construction. So we're praying for good weather all the time. We're praying for hours. We're praying for another job. We're giving out free estimates. Just like, man, we just want to help these people out, but they help us out in the same way, though. You know what I mean? But
right.
It just is. I think it's harder nowadays to get into it because people will look at you crazy
so
if you bring it in.
The difference between you and what I have to deal with is this is not corporate.
Yeah.
This is independent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So I can't. I mean, the only way anything's going to happen is if I say, hey, look, don't be doing that.
Right. I'm in a more corporate world. And,
There's a whole lot of people that can control what you do and say.
Exactly. So I do have to be cautious. And then I have others that know who I am and know my ventures and know what I'm trying to accomplish and know that I'm trying to live my life the right way, who use it against me, number one, and who also are naysayers intentionally. And I think that the sad part about it is I actually think that they're believers, but they do it just to get under my skin.
Yeah.
And so
I think they want to test you and see how you react. You know what I mean? That's how a lot of people are. They want to get a rise out of people and see how they react. And that's how they get their get off, you know what I mean?
I think that God uses that to teach me too, though. I think that he puts me in those I think he puts us behind enemy lines on purpose. I really do. Jesus went behind enemy lines all the time. Yeah. He went and hung out with lepers, bro. Yeah. The ritually unclean, like she was talking about, you know, what is he doing over there? He went and hung out with prostitutes and druggies and alcoholics and adulterers and all the stuff.
Yeah.
And how many times? Dude, the woman who washed his feet with her tears, bro, and dried it with her hair.
Yeah.
And then these dudes, this Pharisee, this leader of men, is sitting across from him going, how dare he allow her to touch him if he's the Son of God? Are you kidding me right now?
Yeah.
So what you're telling me, Mr. Pharisee guy, is you want the militant Jesus. You know what happens to you if you get the militant Jesus?
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
Yeah. You better have lived a perfect life.
Come on. Come on. Bro, that's what I love about our God's plan, right? And I don't, you know, if other people choose not to believe it, that's on them. Like, I got no control over that. I want them to, and I want to be the best example I could possibly be, but don't look to me because I can't possibly live up to it. Just like what happened with Mary earlier in the Chosen.
Yeah.
I can't possibly live up to it. Only one did. And that's who's talked about in those books.
Yeah.
That's who's quoted in those books. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yeshua. Yahweh. Adonai. All of those things.
Yeah.
Not John Traylor.
Yeah.
Because John Traylor's jacked up because he's in the world.
Yeah.
And he's been in the world, and he's born with sin covering him.
But think about you, John Traylor. You're putting in the work.
I'm sure trying.
You are putting in the work. You're putting in the effort.
Yeah.
You're mentoring us.
I don't like hearing my name like that.
You're being part of the church. You're being a fisher of men. You're bringing us in, and you're trying to guide us into the right way. You're doing your thing, and I appreciate you for it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
And a lot of other people appreciate you for it, but you're doing a great job, bud.
You
might have gone through some things, but guess what? The Lord put you through them things to be where we're at right now.
Yeah, for sure.
So don't ever think different. Don't ever get down on yourself. You're doing a great job, bud.
Thank you. My brother's over here doing the same things.
I could preach to Jason, too, but we were just talking about John Traylor.
He just made me feel really uncomfortable.
But it's the truth, though. You're doing what you're supposed to. You're putting in the work for your faith.
Right.
God is going to bless you for that.
And I think that the point I was trying to make, though, is don't look to me. You know what I mean? Like, understand that, like, okay, I can present Jesus to you in a way that might speak to you, but you got to go independently and talk to him and seek him yourself.
Yeah.
Don't look to me for all the answers. Don't look to me for the best example. because I'm not the best example all the time. I'm open about my failures, okay? I'm not always the most patient person. I'm not always loving. I'm not always humble. You know what I mean? I can be short. I can be angry. I don't always control all of my behaviors and all that kind of stuff. I allow myself to get out of hand with alcohol sometimes. I allow myself to say things that I shouldn't say. I allow myself to slander and to gossip and all that. Those are all things that I should not be doing.
But brother, you admit that.
Absolutely, you admit
that. A lot of people don't admit that. They don't see that in themselves, and they just want to put it to the side. Oh, no, I'm not a problem. You know what I'm saying? But you admit it.
Yeah.
All of us are problems. Every one of us is a problem.
We all have our own problems.
Every one of us is a problem, too. That's the thing. That's the biggest thing. We're all a problem.
Yeah. But Christ paid it all.
Yeah.
Once for all time. Yeah. The sacrifice was made once for all time. It doesn't have to be made again. You know, before, the rules were the sacrifices had to be made over and over and over again. Well, after Christ, there is no more. We don't go to the altar and pay sacrifices like that.
Yeah.
We don't go slaughter lambs and cows and all that kind of stuff. We don't do that anymore. We don't have to, because the sacrifice has already been made. Christ paid the price. He paid the penalty for your sin, for my sin, yesterday, today, and forever. You know what I mean? I think most people think of, and we talked about this before too, about like in the old ways, the way I grew up is like, okay, when you give yourself to Christ, you give yourself over to Christ. If you sin again, then you're done, right? You're going to hell. Every single time you make a mistake.
Yeah.
That's not true. The sacrifice is paid yesterday, today, and forever. That means tomorrow, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? God is the same. He hasn't changed his mind about you. If he changed his mind about you, then we would have been gone a long time ago.
Yeah.
When you're talking about that, one word that comes to mind is choice. Mm-hmm. God gave us choice. Mm-hmm. We can choose to do right. We can choose to do wrong. We can choose to do both if we want to.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
You see where I'm coming with this?
Yeah. Like,
he gave you the choice. Even Adam and Eve, you have a choice. Go get that fruit if you want to. But what happened? That's the first sin. That's the first sin that ever occurred.
He recommended that you don't.
I definitely recommend, but it's in the Word, too. If you're in the Word, he'll show you what he recommends and what he doesn't.
Yeah.
But we still do it every day. Each and every one of us. We sin every day.
Where is that scripture? I'm trying to think. When Paul starts talking about the thorn in the flesh, I think, and he starts talking about, I know what I should do, but I don't do it, and I know what I'm not supposed to do, but I do it anyway. Do you remember where that's at?
I think it's Romans.
it is Romans.
No, it wouldn't be Romans,
yes,
would it?
Yes, Romans. It is. Yeah, it's Romans.
But like you said, we know what we're supposed to do, but we still do what we don't do. It's a struggle with everyday man, everyday woman, everything.
We'll just go through it because
Romans 7:15-20.
I think it makes sense to do. I don't really understand myself for what I want to do, for I want to do what is right. Yes, Lord. But I don't. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good, so I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. There's more beyond that. It has to be because.
But that's just living in the flesh right there.
I know.
That's everyday life, everything around you.
I have discovered the principle of life that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. It's your mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. What a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Let me tell you something. This sounds like David in Psalms. Does it not? About why am I downcast on my soul? You know what I mean? This sounds like David to me. But the cool thing to me is he doesn't leave you where he was.
Yeah.
He continues on. Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. Struggle, struggle, struggle.
It's powerful, though.
I love the next sentence. You know what's cool to me is we get it broken down into chapter and verse. That's not the way it was written, no. Right? They do that because we want to be able to recall where things are. The very next sentence after that. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Oh, because you belong to him, the power of the living God has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. You want to talk about dropping a mic? Just drop it.
Yeah.
He just talked about all the ways that, all the stuff I just explained, right? All the things about myself, right? Because I don't want people to look at me like that. Yeah. So I'm not the answer. I can bring you some details. I can bring you some information that may help you. I can be the best example that I can be. But if you're relying on me to be the answer, you are going to get let down.
Yeah.
That's why we have to look at Christ and not John or Jason or Tanner or Mike, who's been on the show before and all that kind of stuff, man.
He is the answer. The Lord is the answer.
The Lord is the answer. If you have
questions, get into the Word. Just get into the Word. You'll find the answers to your questions.
I believe that
truly in my heart.
I beg people to spend time in God's word. And I think that, you know, sometimes don't put so much pressure on yourself. Just do the best you can do. You know what I mean? Wake up. Some people, they talk about it at church sometimes about, you know, we're reading the Bible in a year plan or whatever. Well, I missed a few days last week or whatever. Well, you still read the Bible 5 days last week. Yeah. You know what I mean? Quit focusing on the failure. Because that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants you to focus on the failure so much that you quit.
Yeah.
But that scripture in Galatians said, don't give up. Don't quit. You know what I mean? Even if you fall short, don't quit. Keep fighting. Fight the good fight of faith, as it says in Timothy.
Yeah.
That's great. Great stuff right there. Great stuff right there.
Thanks, Tanner.
I felt that.
I feel bad for my brother over there. He's hurting pretty bad, I can tell.
That's getting me.
Yeah, he's not comfortable.
No.
So, everybody, we'll close this thing down because I know you need to get out of that chair. I just want to ask anybody who listens to lift us all up in prayer. One, two, my brother Jason over there, who's in a lot of pain, he needs miraculous healing, but I totally believe that God has that. It may take human intervening, but I believe that God works through people. So, everybody lift up my brother in prayer that the right answer comes.
Yeah, I'd appreciate it.
Do you got any dad jokes that'll let the pressure off?
Yeah. I do. Dad, I find whiteboards pretty great. Actually, they're remarkable.
They're remarkable. Where's it at? Is it? Which one is it?
I think it's the other one. Yeah, one of them. Oh no.
That's
no, it's that, the blue one.
I think it's the blue one.
No. There it is.
There it is.
We don't know where the buttons are.
we're still learning right now.
I think that this kind of falls in line with some of the things we talked about today. So Sigmund Freud said, one day in retrospect, the years of struggle will strike you as the most beautiful. Damn. Yeah, it kind of was a punch in the boo-boo.
Yeah.
Anyway, appreciate you guys listening. Tanner, thanks for joining us again.
I appreciate y'all having me on again, man. It's a great feeling. Y'all doing a great job.
Thank you so much.
Keep on trucking, brothers. Keep on trucking.
Anybody who chooses to listen, like, follow, share.
Share it.
Get it out there.
I love you.
We love y'all. Y'all keep your heads up. Whatever you're going through, God has a purpose for you. Just remember that. You are not alone in this walk.
Amen. Yeah.